Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
He has always considered himself immune to the kinds of stories that rely on suggestion. He is not dismissive of mystery, exactly. He understands that science is unfinished and that human perception is imperfect. But he believes firmly that what we do not yet understand will eventually become understood, and that the gap between fear and explanation narrows with time. He has never needed superstition to fill that space. He travels easily, sleeps easily, and does not find himself unsettled by unfamiliar rooms or the quiet that comes with them. The house he rented for two nights was unremarkable in every way that mattered. It sat just outside a small town, surrounded by trees that pressed close enough to block most exterior light once the sun went down. The structure was older, but not abandoned or decayed, just worn in the way houses become after decades of weather and occupants. The floors gave off a soft creak when stepped on. The hallway narrowed slightly toward the bedrooms. The doors required a little extra pressure to latch. He noticed these things the way he always did, mentally cataloging them so that nothing ordinary would later surprise him. The first night passed without incident. He slept well. The house made the expected noises of cooling wood and settling beams, but nothing out of pattern, nothing that felt intrusive or unusual. By the second evening, he felt entirely comfortable there. He was packing close to midnight, wanting to leave early in the morning without delay. His bag lay open on the floor near the bedroom door, and he bent forward to compress a bundle of clothes into one corner. His posture shifted slightly as he adjusted the weight of the bag. That was when he felt it. Four distinct points of pressure drove into the right side of his lower back just above the hip. The sensation was firm and focused, as if fingers had pressed into muscle with purpose. It was not a graze, not the vague brush of fabric or air. It was deliberate contact sustained just long enough to register clearly before disappearing. He straightened instantly and turned. The space behind him was empty. The door stood closed. The wall was several inches beyond his reach. There was no chair, no coat hook, no protrusion at the height of his back. The room had not shifted in any visible way. He remained standing there longer than necessary, scanning the area methodically, not for anything dramatic, but for something mundane that he might have overlooked. A misplaced object, a piece of hardware jutting out from the door, a trick of posture that could have caused self-inflicted pressure. There was nothing. When he pressed his hand against the spot on his back, the skin felt tender, as if recently handled. The sensation lingered in a way that muscle tension does not. Still, he chose the simplest explanation available: fatigue from driving, a nerve misfiring, the body misinterpreting position as external force. The brain is capable of creating convincing illusions, especially at the edge of exhaustion. He accepted that reasoning because it allowed the night to continue normally. He finished packing, turned off the light, and lay down. The room was dark except for a faint seam of streetlight slipping through the edge of the curtains. He settled on his right side, facing the wall, one arm folded beneath the pillow, and fell asleep without difficulty. He woke sometime later without knowing why. There was no noise to accompany the waking, only the quiet awareness that sleep had loosened its hold. The room felt unchanged, the faint line of light still tracing the floor. Then something made contact with his left ear. It was subtle at first, like the light flick of a fingertip against cartilage. He reached back instinctively, assuming a loose thread or stray hair had brushed against him, and adjusted the pillow without lifting his head. The sensation came again, more clearly this time, pressing at the outer edge of his ear before withdrawing. He opened his eyes and listened carefully. The air was still. The house was silent. No movement beyond the faint hum of distant electrical current inside the walls. He shifted his head slightly, pressing his ear more firmly into the pillow in an effort to eliminate whatever might be causing the sensation. A third contact followed, closer now, deliberate and unmistakable. He pushed himself halfway upright and scanned the room. Nothing stood beside the bed. Nothing cast a shadow across the faint spill of light. The door remained closed. the floor undisturbed. He told himself that the brain, caught between sleep and wakefulness, can generate remarkably vivid sensory errors. Hypnagogic hallucinations are well documented. Auditory distortions, tactile impressions, none of it requires the supernatural. It requires only timing and fatigue. Determined not to escalate his own imagination, he lay back down and closed his eyes. The moment his head touched the pillow, a breath passed directly across his ear. It was warm and uneven, as though expelled through partially parted lips. Not loud, not theatrical, just close. Close enough that he could feel the shape of it as it moved across the curve of his ear and faded into a low, breath-formed tone. He did not cry out. His body froze with a completeness that surprised him. Every muscle held tension. His lungs stalled halfway through an inhale. It was not a chosen stillness, but an imposed one, as if movement itself had become temporarily inaccessible. He remained that way for several long seconds, waiting for the next sensation to confirm or contradict what he had just experienced. Nothing followed immediately. Gradually, he rolled onto his back, forcing the motion through stiffness that felt disproportionate to the act itself. The space beside the bed was empty. The desk across the room sat undisturbed. His bag remained where he had left it. He would have convinced himself it was a dream, if not for the clarity of it. He had been awake, fully awake. As he lay there trying to reassemble logic, another sound emerged, not from within the room, but from the hallway just beyond the bedroom door. It was faint and measured, like weight shifting across floorboards. Not quite footsteps, not the defined cadence of shoes, but the slow redistribution of pressure moving from one end of the hall to the other. It traveled with deliberate pacing and then stopped directly outside his door. There was no knock, no rattle of the handle, only the unmistakable sense that something had arrived and chosen not to announce itself further. He did not move toward the door. He did not speak. He lay in absolute stillness, listening to the thickness of the air on the other side. Eventually, the pressure lifted. The subtle movement receded down the hallway until the house returned to its original quiet. He did not sleep again. Morning came without incident, and daylight restored the proportions of the room to something manageable. The walls looked ordinary, the floorboards harmless, the hallway narrow but unthreatening. Before leaving, he reached back once more and pressed his fingers into the right side of his lower back. The tenderness remained, and for the first time he allowed himself to consider something he had never needed to consider before. Not that something impossible had occurred, but that something had made contact with him in a way that did not resemble error, fatigue, or dream. The thought unsettled him less in the moment than what followed it. If it had been deliberate, then it had not been random. He left the house just after sunrise, telling himself that daylight has a way of flattening everything back into proportion. The drive out of town was quiet and uneventful. Trees passed, gas stations opened, people moved through their morning routines without disruption. The world, as always, appeared intact. He replayed the night in fragments, not emotionally at first, but analytically. The pressure on his back, the tactile clarity of it, the breath at his ear, the movement in the hallway. He tested each piece against logic the way one tests a loose board for weakness. Muscle spasm, hypnagogic hallucination, auditory distortion caused by pressure in the ear. Each explanation functioned independently. None of them accounted for the sequence. It was the sequence that troubled him. If it had only been the sensation on his back, he would have dismissed it. If it had only been the ear, he could have filed it under sleep disturbance, but the order felt structured. A contact, a reaction, a closer contact, then movement beyond the room. It behaved less like malfunction and more like progression. He did not mention any of this to anyone when he returned home. He did not need validation, and he did not want alarm. Instead, he went back to routine. He unpacked. He washed the clothes he had packed in the dim light of that room. He set his bag in its usual place. The familiarity of his apartment steadied him. That first night back, he turned off the lights without hesitation. He lay in bed and waited, not in fear, but in expectation that the quiet would assert itself again as normal. He told himself that if nothing happened, the mind would eventually recalibrate and settle the anomaly where it belonged. Nothing happened. No pressure on his back, no brushing at his ear, no movement in the hallway. He slept. The following evening, he found himself aware of his own awareness. He noticed how quickly he registered small sounds. The refrigerator cycling on, a neighbor's door closing two floors below, wind against the window. Each sound received a fraction more attention than it had before. Not panic, just alertness. He told himself this was temporary. The body retains memory of fear longer than the event itself. It would fade. On the third night, he woke again without knowing why. The room was completely dark. His blinds were closed. The streetlight outside was shielded by a tree that had not yet shed its leaves. He lay still, listening for something that might have caused the waking. There was only the low hum of the building's infrastructure. He almost rolled over and returned to sleep when he felt it, a faint indentation in the mattress near his feet. Not the dramatic compression of someone sitting down, but the subtle redistribution of weight, as if something had pressed lightly and then withdrawn. He remained motionless. His mind worked quickly this time, cataloging possibilities before emotion could intervene. Structural shift, old springs in the mattress settling, temperature contraction. It had happened before, he simply had not noticed. Except, he had noticed. And he could feel the echo of it in the tension along his calves. He waited for the follow-up, for escalation, for breath near his ear. Nothing came. Minutes passed, his pulse slowed. He turned onto his side and eventually drifted back to sleep. In the morning, the incident felt smaller than the night before in the rented house, but it carried a different weight. That house had been unfamiliar. This one was not. He began to consider something he had avoided since leaving. What if the location had not mattered? He resisted the thought immediately. Correlation is not causation. Memory alters perception. Once an experience crosses a certain threshold of fear, the brain can replicate it convincingly. That explanation satisfied him until later that week. He was sitting at his desk in the early evening, reading. The room was lit by a single lamp. Outside, the city moved in its usual rhythm. He shifted slightly in his chair to reach for a pen. Something pressed into the right side of his lower back. Not as forcefully as before. Not with the same unmistakable drive. But enough. He did not startle this time. He did not leap up. He remained seated and let the sensation register fully before turning his head. There was nothing behind him but the back of the chair and the open space of the room. He stood slowly, removed the chair, and examined it. The wood was smooth, no protrusions, no uneven screws, no structural anomalies. He stepped away from the desk and stood in the center of the room, breathing evenly. The calm frightened him more than the contact, and he was not reacting the way he had in the rented house. He was not frozen or paralyzed. Instead, he felt something closer to recognition. The sensation had not been exploratory. It had been precise. Later that night, as he lay in bed with the lights off, he understood the shift that unsettled him most. He no longer feared that something would appear. He feared that it was observing the adjustment in him. In the quiet of his apartment, long after the building had settled into sleep, he found himself listening not for footsteps or breath, but for the absence of them. Because if something had made contact once by chance, that was anomaly. If it had done so twice in two different places, that was pattern. And patterns implied intention. By the end of the week, he had stopped trying to disprove it. That may have been the most significant change of all. In the days that followed the second contact, he moved through his routine without altering it. He did not sleep with lights on. He did not install cameras or set traps for proof. He did not search for stories of similar experiences online, though the temptation crossed his mind more than once. He understood how easily the internet could turn uncertainty into spectacle, and he refused to let what had happened become mythology. Instead, he paid attention. The apartment behaved normally. The building made its usual noises. Elevators rose and fell. Pipes clicked. Footsteps crossed the hallway outside his door at predictable hours. Nothing overt disrupted the pattern of his life, and yet something inside him had shifted its orientation. He found that he no longer occupied space with the same confidence. but aware in a way that was difficult to articulate. He would enter a room and pause for a fraction of a second longer than necessary, as if waiting for the air to respond. Nothing did. He began to test himself in subtle ways. He stood in the center of the living room one evening, eyes closed, deliberately still, waiting to see if the sensation would return when he invited silence. He felt only the slow movement of his own breath. Another night, he lay on his right side in bed, recreating the position from the rented house, expecting that if there were a neurological explanation, it would surface again under identical conditions. It did not. The absence was almost as unsettling as the presence had been. Then, late one night, as he sat at his desk reading, he felt something he had not anticipated. Not pressure, not touch, proximity. It began as a subtle shift in the air behind him, a change too delicate to measure but impossible to ignore, once noticed. The skin at the back of his neck tightened slightly, the way it does when someone stands too close. He did not turn immediately. He let the sensation build, testing whether it would dissipate under scrutiny. It did not. He became aware of his own breathing, steady but shallower than before. The room remained silent. The lamp cast its usual pool of light across the desk. There were no shadows moving against the wall. Slowly, deliberately, he turned his head. There was nothing there, but the feeling did not retreat. It remained just at the edge of him, neither touching nor withdrawing, not aggressive, not forceful, simply present. He stayed that way for several long seconds before standing and stepping away from the chair. The sensation faded as he moved toward the kitchen, as though distance had thinned it. That was when the realization settled in, not with panic, but with a kind of quiet clarity. Whatever had occurred in that rented house had not been an isolated malfunction of his senses. It had been an interaction, not dramatic, not theatrical, but responsive. The pressure on his back had not been exploratory in the way random nerve activity might be. The breath at his ear had arrived at the precise moment he repositioned himself. The movement in the hallway had paused outside the door, not because doors stopped drafts, but because something had chosen not to enter. He did not know what that meant. He only knew that it had behaved as though he were part of the equation. The thought did not terrify him the way it once would have. Instead, it unsettled him in a more enduring way. He had always believed that if something defied explanation, it was because the explanation had not yet been discovered. That the universe was orderly even when misunderstood. Now he was no longer certain that order implied accessibility. Weeks passed without further contact. The tenderness in his lower back faded completely. Sleep returned to normal. The apartment resumed its neutrality. But he could not unlearn what had shifted inside him. He no longer dismissed the possibility that awareness might exist outside the boundaries he once considered fixed. He no longer moved through darkness with absolute indifference. He did not fear it. He simply acknowledged that he might not fully understand it. One night, as he lay in bed, awake but calm, he found himself listening again, not for sound, not for movement, but for the subtle compression of air that precedes presence. Nothing came, and yet he understood something he had not before. The most destabilizing part of the experience was not the touch or the breath or the movement in the hallway. It was the precision. If it had been random, he could have dismissed it. If it had been chaotic, he could have attributed it to malfunction. But it had been measured, which meant that somewhere in the quiet architecture of that night, something had registered him and decided to engage. He does not believe in ghosts. He still believes in science, but he is no longer certain that awareness is limited to the forms he can measure. And sometimes in the stillness just before sleep, he wonders whether the thing that made contact has finished learning what it wanted to know, or whether it is simply waiting for the next moment he forgets to doubt it.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now, so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.